Well, I'm packing up my game and I'ma head out west, where real women come equipped with scripts and fake breasts. Find a nest in the hills, chill like Flint, buy an old drop top, find a spot to pimp, then I'm a kid.
Welcome to D1 Sports Talk Podcast. I am your boy, Tight Tight. I got my main man with me, Coach.
Another week, another dollar, more college football, more excitement, more disappointment. Let's get in it.
Let's get right into it. I got a quote for you.
Go ahead.
That shouldn't be difficult, that much of a challenge. We've got a great front seven, and even on the back end, we're all going to be ready to tackle. But our biggest thing is our energy level. As soon as we get off the bus, we ready to tackle. Don't take anything lightly. We have all have to be ready. Coach, are you ready today?
I suppose. Who that came from?
Before I tell you who it came from, Coach, I'm about to interpret and I'm about to personalize it and personalize it for everyone out there, to all the radio stations. The Herd, Dan Lebatard, Mike and Mike, Rosello and Canale, Paul Feinbaum, we coming after you. We ain't got nothing to lose. D1 Sports Talk is coming after you. As soon as we get off the bus, we are ready to record. As soon as we come to your city, we are ready. So buckle up. Don't get caught slipping, because we coming after you. That was my interpretation of the initial quote that I just gave you, coming from Jonathan Rudy Ford.
We need Jonathan Rudy Ford to focus on other things other than making statements.
He said, don't take anything lightly. We all have to be ready to go. She say, as soon as we get off the bus, we're ready to tackle.
Well, apparently we never got off the bus.
Let's go ahead and follow our normal agenda, because I'm pretty sure we got plenty to say on that particular game, Auburn versus LSU. But let's get right into it. How did your team fare this week?
Oh, we won. We had a region victory that was much needed. A victory that kind of put us back in things as far as the region goes. Now we just got to keep following up with a few more and see if we can string together some things and get in the playoffs.
So y'all still eligible for the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. We can end up. I mean, obviously, if things go perfect, we can still end up winning the region. But definitely in play for a number two seed, which would be a first round home game. So everything's stacking up now, because we had another team that beat us. The team that we lost our second region matchup with lost on Thursday night. So that opened the door back for us. Now we our destiny is in our hands now. So we just got to go out and do what we need to do.
Coach, I had a listener tell me last week, that basically said, Coach and them never win. Coach, I'd like to congratulate you on behalf of that listener.
Hey, can't argue with the truth, man. I mean, we've been losing, so that's something new to our program. You know, these last 2 years been pretty tough, you know, for us as far as, you know, getting things going. You know, I don't know if it's necessarily what the issue is. You know, we got a new coach this year, but it's just been some tough things that we've been – a lot of adversity that our program has been under these last couple of years. But like I said, our kids haven't wavered. And, you know, we definitely had a tough schedule these last 2 years. But, you know, all that stuff is what it is. You know, you still got to go play teams on your schedule. And you just got to get it done, man. If we don't get it done, it's on us at the end of the day.
Well, congratulations, Coach. And
I appreciate it, man.
So that makes y'all 2-2?
Yes.
Congratulations. Yeah. 2-2.
With another tough one this week, man.
Who y'all got this week?
This week, we play a team. It's a non-region game, but it's a team out of the state. We're playing a team from our neighboring state that is a perennial deep playoff team that somehow ended up getting on our schedule last 2 years, and they come to our place, and they look good, too. They've only lost one game this year, and it's going to be another tough ball game for us this week, but it's always a challenge that you look forward to and a great opportunity for our kids. So You know, we'll be at home again this Friday, and hopefully we can pull that one off.
Well, you got the listener of Ruin Your Own, so good luck to you this Friday as well. What's the Little League tip of the week, Coach? Well, before we even do that, Coach, let's go ahead and do shout-outs and disappointments, because I got a shout-out I want to give this week, Coach.
You want to start out? You want to start out with shout-outs or disappointments?
Start out with disappointment.
Got to start with the orange and blue. Auburn Tigers, very underwhelming this week. Both sides of the ball looked pretty bad. We still got a lot of situations going on with our quarterback. This was the week that I really expected to see some kind of change in the way we did things, and I really didn't see any improvement there. As I've been saying, defensively, I just, you know, Muschamp can only solve so much. I think we're still looking for players on that side of the ball at a lot of positions. We didn't tackle well, just rough all the way around. My next disappointment will go to USC of Cali. You know, another one of them teams that, you know, got a lot of hype in the preseason. Are they ready? You know, are they getting that hype a little too early? You know, USC is one of those programs that, you know, people don't fall off of for a long period of time. You know, people expect those programs to kind of just pick themselves back up at any time, and maybe USC ain't ready yet. Ohio State. The only reason I put Ohio State on here is because they didn't do what all the prognosticators were expecting them to do, and that's win every game on their schedule except for maybe one by 20. You know, it's just like I said, you know, early in the season, everybody's going to have those games where everything you do ain't going to necessarily be right. But at the end of the day, you got to get that victory. Both quarterbacks, neither quarterback really did anything overwhelming. So a lot tough to see that. This disappointment goes to Bobby Williams, the fans, and all fast-paced offenses.
Who is Bobby Williams, Coach?
Bobby Williams is the special team coordinator at Alabama. And these all three are probably people Nick Saban probably going to blame for the loss on Saturday. Bobby Williams, the fans, and the fast-paced offenses. All of them, Steve Spurrier probably going to blame in some shape or form for the loss. Bama, you know, even with all that going on, they still had an opportunity to win. But, you know, a very technically sound team like Alabama, 5 turnovers, that's tough right there. My last two, one will go to two SEC teams. My last two go to two SEC teams. USC Little E, Spurrier is in his last days. I just drubbing by the Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, you don't see Spurrier take beatdowns like that very often. And I just don't see how it's going to get much better this season. So I hate to see the old ball code go out their way, but hopefully he won't try to stick around for another 7 years. And the last one got to go to Brett Bielema's mouth.
What's the Texas Tech coach name, Coach?
Cliff Kingsbury.
What do you say about him?
Well, apparently, Bielema, again, you know, let his mouth write a check that his team couldn't cash. Bielema stood up and said, if you don't throw to the fullback, we'll kick your butt. And if you throw it 70 times, we'll kick your butt. Well, after the game was over with, Coach Kingsbury said, Bielema just got his butt kicked twice in a row and probably next week by Texas A&M. So that's another disappointment for me. Brett Bielema running his mouth.
Coach, for the past 2 weeks, the head coach over at Arkansas has said a lot but done a little, Coach. But he might need to do, as the kindergarten teachers say, go to timeout. And he need to go over there and think about some of the things he done said and did.
But, amen. But
Coach, I didn't see a lot of football this week. I was able to attend the Congressional Black Caucus ALC Annual Legislative Conference. This was the 45th year for that particular conference. One half of the Free Lunch Podcast was in town. That's BG And we was able to go and network and make a few connections around the Free Lunch Podcast and the New South Movement Network. However, with that said, I was able to capture a few disappointments for the week, and some of these may be outside of your norm. Is it okay if I share those with you?
Go ahead, bro.
My first disappointment comes from the CBC weekend, Coach. On Saturday morning, I had the privilege to attend the annual prayer breakfast. Now, the prayer breakfast, Coach, starts at 7:30 a.m., and it runs until 10 o'clock. I've attended the prayer breakfast for the past 5 years, and for each of those 5 years, I've arrived about 7:45, and you just walk into the prayer breakfast. Well, on this particular year, we arrived at 7:30 on time to attend the prayer breakfast, only to find out that the Secret Service was in the building. President Joe Biden was in attendance for the prayer breakfast. This would be the first time I would have breakfast with the vice president, and I was very thankful. But, Coach, the disappointment comes when each member of the that was attending the breakfast had to go through the metal detector, similar to the metal detector that you would go through at an airport. The lines were extremely long, and I had been waiting in line for about 20 minutes when I turn around, Coach, and guess who I see, Coach?
Who was
it,
bro?
I turn around, and I see the Honorable Reverend Jesse Jackson. Honorable Reverend Jesse Jackson, unfortunately, he was not a member of the Congress or the House of Representatives or the Senate. Members of the House and the Senate were able to bypass the metal detectors. If you are not a member, then you are required to go through the metal detectors. So keep in mind, I'm about three places from going through the metal detector when I feel a tap on my shoulder. I look up, and reaching out to reach me is the same man I had turned around and saw at the back of the line, the Honorable Reverend Jesse Jackson. Now, Coach, he reaches out and he shakes my hand. And at that point, what am I to tell him? He can't skip me?
Yeah, I told Jesse he got to wait his turn on, bro.
Well, that didn't happen. There was no way I could tell a member of the civil rights movement that he was not about to get in front of me in line.
No, you can't let Jesse Big Boy you in the line, Uncle.
That's why he's on the biggest disappointment list for this week. Coach, I was disappointed that he got it. He skipped me, Coach. Coach, what am I supposed to say to a civil rights leader?
You know, to say, now Jesse, you gotta wait your turn. Eyes have been standing here for 20 minutes.
Coach, I can't tell him, man. You mean to tell me
that you got wooed by Jesse Jackson and let him break in line in front of you?
Not only Jesse Jackson,
but his whole crew?
But his two bodyguards?
You let Jesse and his whole entourage break in front of you, man?
I ain't had no choice, Coach. I could not tell the man that stood next to the Honorable Martin Luther King Jr. that he was not able to walk in front of me on this particular day at the prayer breakfast.
If you was in my line at my school, I would have sent you, Jesse, and all his boys at that. If you was at my school and you did that in my line, I would have sent you, Jesse, and all his boys to the back of the line.
Jesse Jackson, you are a big disappointment.
Unbelievable.
The other disappointments I give surrounding football, I like to give a big disappointment to the lawn and garden team at the suburban high school in the Chicago area. Now, if you're not familiar with this story, well, the suburban high school football field was accidentally sprayed with weed killer instead of fertilizer.
Oh, my God.
So, Coach, they accidentally put weed killer instead of fertilizer. So when you look at the field, you just see patches and patches of brown grass and dirt.
So they played on a brown turf.
They played on a brown turf.
The first ever brown turf in high school.
In high school. Because they accidentally, at St. Edward High Schools in Elgin, they played on the field because the lawn and garden team accidentally mistaked the fertilizer for the weed killer.
Unbelievable.
And lastly, my last disappointment goes out to the AU coaching staff. Coach, I feel like this team, and we'll probably talk about this a little bit later, but I absolutely feel like the head coach of the Auburn University football team has lost this team. And I'm sure we'll be able to discuss this in length and in detail, but I think this goes back to the previous season, Texas A&M versus Auburn University. I think that was the turning point, or that was the point for me that convinced me that this team may be lost. So, to the coaching staff at the Auburn University football program, you guys are a big disappointment for the performance that was put on last week. I refuse to call out a young kid or a young player for their effort, so I'm going to put that on the coaching staff.
Shout out to Stanford. Kevin Hogan, 18 of 23, 279 yards, 2 touchdowns. Down goes Frazier, beat USC. Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss. Hugh Freeze, 2 years in a row beating Saban. Chad Kelly, the new quarterback darling of the SEC, 18 for 33, 341 yards, 3 touchdowns. UCLA, 3-0, freshman quarterback. Pulling out a big win, 2-0 in the league against BYU, who had been the cardiac cats of the NCAA the last 2 weeks. Texas Tech quarterback Patrick Monahan, 26 for 30, 243, 1 touchdown, 58-yard rushing, 2 TDs. But my big shout-out of the week, and people, let me tell you, this is not a basketball score. Valparaiso got their first win of the season by destroying College of Faith 86-0.
Congratulations.
Shout out to Valpo.
What conference is that, Coach?
I have no clue. I didn't even know Valpo had a football team.
Coach, you had to know that they had a football team.
It might be a field hockey score for us, I know.
At the bottom of the screen, Coach, they always show Valparaiso playing at another school's homecoming, Coach. So
whoever the coach is at College of Faith need to go back to the drawing board.
They definitely got to go back to the drawing board. Let me give you my shout-out. Shout-out to the Vanderbilt Commodores for that outstanding victory over Austin and Peavy, 47-7. Coach, they might have found a little offense, Coach.
Did you seriously say outstanding?
Outstanding.
Wow.
Coach, I don't know, like I said, because I didn't hear a lot of football, but on the day I did hear a lot of commentary and radio play, Coach. And, Coach, I don't know how much football you watch on the Fox station or Fox Sports South, but one of the best reporters in the game is a guy by the name of Gus Johnson. And if you did not hear Gus's call on Saturday night when Texas scored that long run to go down by 1 point, you need to go back and listen to it. But I'd like to give a shout out to Gus Johnson for giving the Ric Flair woo, woo at the end of that touchdown, Coach. He has the ability to make any game that appears to be boring and exciting. So if you get a chance, go to YouTube search for the last touchdown that Texas scored to come within 1 point of California over the weekend. And you will hear Gus Johnson give the Ric Flair woo at the end of it.
Shout out to Gus Johnson, the Black Nature Boy.
And lastly, Coach, I'd like to give a shout out to the Southside Chargers. Coach, the Southside Chargers are the junior level, Coach, for their outstanding victory on Saturday as they were able to beat their opponent by 50 points, Coach. Coach, they were beating them so bad in the fourth quarter, the referee had to stop the game. Coach, you asked who the Southside Chargers are, Coach. So, Coach, the Southside Chargers are members of the Typha Football League that comes on Spike TV. For those of you that are familiar with Typha, that's the Little League football in the state of Texas. Now, why do I give those guys a shout-out, Coach? Because those are the guys and those are the coaching staff that I coached with when I lived in Houston, Texas for 7 years. We were not members of Typha at that time. We were members of the Fun League. Those guys decided 3 years ago that they wanted to join, 2 years ago that they wanted to get on board the Typha train, and they got on board the Typha train, Coach. So I'd like to shout out those guys for that outstanding 50-0 victory, Coach.
Congratulations to them kids. I guess the team that got beat didn't get their juice boxes that night, didn't
they? No, honorable mention goes out to the coaching staff in Orlando that put up the big goose egg.
Oh, yeah, 21-0, wasn't it?
21-0, Coach. That's an honorable mention shout-out.
Muschamp of the league.
Muschamp of the league, Coach. Coach, did you get the tech message earlier today?
I did.
Which is a good transition, Coach, into the Little League of the week. Coach, let's talk. You might not have heard this one, Coach. But a few weeks ago, I told you about some disorder that was happening over at one of our mutual friends' Little League team. You know, he's a coach on the team, and he told one of the coaches, don't put your hands on me. So, Coach. So, Coach, since those 2 weeks, Coach, our friend had decided that he's gonna take a back seat. To any other play calling that takes place during the game. Well, this past week, I believe an incident came up to where one of the coaches, decided to, and I'm trying to remember if I'm telling the story right, but one of the coaches basically decided to do a play that no one thought it was a good idea to run the play. Well, under his breath, the coach basically said, God D, he cussed under his breath, Coach. After he cussed under his breath, Coach, the defensive coach saw him cussing and told him he need to straighten up and stop talking bad about the head coach. He said, you didn't even hear me. I didn't even say nothing. He said, yes, I did. He said, no, you didn't. You just read my lips. Stop talking bad about the head coach.
I'm really starting to get worried about this team. They got a lot of turmoil in the coaching staff.
Coach, what you got to share with us this week? Because I had to get the people an update on that situation because of the turmoil. And a lot of listeners have been asking whatever happened with the coach that said, don't put your hands on me.
I'm really worried about this team, man. You got to keep us updated about this team. Well, my Little League tip of the week, coaches, you always got to keep in perspective the league that you're coaching on. I got a friend who coaches, and this ain't necessarily little league, but I've seen this happen in little league. He coaches eighth grade ball, and he's the offense coordinator, and they've hired this guy fresh out of college. Played a little ball at a HBCU, and now he out there coaching wideouts. And the guy is out here trying to call audibles. He's making up audibles for the receivers. He's making up audibles for the receivers. Coaches, on those level guys, we barely even throw the football. Why are we creating audibles? And he wonders sometimes, he walks up to my buddy sometimes who call plays and ask him, why I can't call a play? Little league coaches, when you're new on staff and you're very eager, you just can't call plays, guys. You just can't walk up to the offensive coordinator and just ask, can I call plays? And there is no need to create audibles for an eighth grade football team. Especially when you haven't even communicated the audibles to the quarterback or the OC. So guys, just little league coaches, remember what level you on and keep it age appropriate, guys. Okay? That's my little league tip of the week. You eager coaches, y'all got to tone it down a little bit now.
That's what I've been trying to communicate over the past few weeks. When I talk to these coaches and when I talk to these new guys that haven't been out there before, just dumb it down and simplify it and run it based on your age group. And don't try to make everything just because you played at the high school level or in this case you played at the college level or one person's case they played at the arena football level. They believe that they can take that same philosophy and apply that to the little league level. Coaches, this is little league. Don't try to make this thing harder than what it really is. Just run the few plays that you ran when you played little league football, and you should be fine.
Keep the Tampa 2 out of it, guys.
What about the shifting, coach? Should we be shifting from a 4-4 to a 5-3, coach?
If your guys can handle that, that's fine. But you got to start with the basics, guys. Got to start with the basics.
I kind of want to talk about two things. I want to talk about what you've seen so far in college football on a macro level. And then also, I kind of want to talk about this whole Auburn football thing. A lot of people are interested, coach, and your thoughts on this Auburn football thing. So at a macro level, what have you seen at the macro level? Who is the best team you've seen play so far, and why?
Right now, I know a lot of people are not going to jump on the bandwagon with this, but right now, I think I am more impressed with Ole Miss right now. And the reason being is, they played two games that wasn't all that great. But it was something about them that kind of just really stuck out to me where I felt like they had an opportunity. I mean, if you remember from the picks last week, I chose Bama. I did. And this is one of my prove me wrong games with Ole Miss. One of those games where, are y'all really supposed to be here? I like the play of the quarterback. Defense is extremely fast. I was very impressed with their defense. And I think they have more weapons now at receiver. The tailback position was pretty good. They still almost gave that game away, but I was more impressed by that game. That one performance on Saturday was probably the most impressive thing that I've seen thus far this football season.
That's a good one. Like I said, that's a separate topic. I have no idea why in the world they are playing Southeastern Conference football games at 9:15 Eastern Standard Time. When did they start that?
And you know it's always about that money, man.
It's 100% about that money, and that's the exploitation of these youth. If you think about it, the Ole Miss football team finished that game at 12:30 Central Standard Time almost. And that means that that team probably didn't even leave that field for another hour and a half.
Oh, no doubt.
Which means that team probably didn't get home. If that team was to leave at 2 o'clock, that team didn't get home to 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. Now, how in the world are you supposed to get prepared for another game that following week when you're getting home and essentially missing an entire day to a practice?
That's that grind, man. I agree with you. It's ridiculous.
That's absolutely ridiculous. And this is the first year they started doing that, and whoever decided to do that ought to be ashamed of themselves, because they got – at this point, it's becoming even not even about the kids, but it's becoming more and more about the dollar bill to get an extra game TV. They do whatever they got to do to get an extra game on TV.
Oh, yeah.
So they start the game at 9:15. That's absolutely ridiculous.
I agree with you 100%.
So I didn't even get a chance to see the end of that game, simply because on my end, it didn't end until 1:30, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That's ridiculous. From a top 10 perspective, I think Michigan State right now is the best team out there. I think that Michigan State has been the most consistent team over the past 3 weeks. I think they were able to pull off a big win. But then I made my final decision based on quarterback play. And I think Connor Cook, the guy over there at Michigan State, is probably the most consistent out of the top-tier schools that have been playing. He's been more consistent than 12 Gauge over at Ohio State. And some of that wacky play that I saw from Ole Miss, particularly that wacky touchdown pass, is something that I got to see him play a few more games. My eyes still out on LSU and Texas A&M. I think those two teams are the best two teams in the Southeastern Conference right now. And so I'm going to be curious to see how this kind of unplays in the next few weeks. Speaking of which, your Auburn Tigers, Coach. I mentioned earlier that I believe that what we're seeing on the field is bigger than football. I believe Gus has lost that team. We'll definitely find out this week when we play against Mississippi State. But something happened with that team and with the players on that team, in my opinion, back during the Texas A&M game of last year. We end up losing that game, but if you just look at the play of that game, particularly at the quarterback position, and Nick Marshall's off-the-field antics when he basically was ignoring the head coach as well as the offensive coordinator, he fumbled that ball, which was probably supposed to be a gear, but he pulled it. But it's just so many things that happened during that particular game that I never forgot it. But when I saw this team play and I saw how Jeremy Johnson was acting on the sideline when he was essentially almost, it felt like he was ignoring Lashley. And so when I saw that, it kind of took me back and I was like, I believe this team may have been lost. This team is lost by Gus. And I really feel like he has a lot in the next few weeks that's going to show and really determine where he's going to be within the next few years. Because the discipline problems that we're having, number 94 getting that 15-yard penalty and no one even going over there to talk to him when he got to the sideline, that kind of disturbed me. Watching the kinesiology and the body language really has disturbed me. Rudy Ford, basically no giving no effort on the play. They want no part of Leonard Fournette. They want no part of him now. So, you know, I kind of say all that to lay the foundation, because the people want to know what you think, Coach. Coach, you have been very quiet and silent around the effort from the Auburn Tigers over the past weekend.
I personally, I'm not ready to say Gus Malzahn had lost the team. I think this would be a critical week in that sense. What I look at when I look at things of that nature is when you're at rock bottom. And now you can say we're actually at rock bottom. We had an embarrassing loss. This is a week where we come back and play another SEC team at home. This is a perfect opportunity to try to turn things around. So I'm not ready to say we've lost the team yet, but I could see that. I could see where that coming from. I really ain't got no argument with that, with anybody having that opinion.
No, but and the reason I say that, Coach, is I'm looking at the holistic picture, right? I'm not just looking at this season. And the reason why I feel like if he hasn't lost it, he's losing it, is for the following reasons. I mentioned the Nick Marshall and the Texas A&M game. I don't know how much of that game you remember, but if you just go back and look at the last three or four quarters, the third or fourth quarter of that game, and just look at Nick Marshall's body language and how he basically was non-responsive to the head coach and to the offensive coordinator, that kind of, to me, gave me some insight. And then also with how we just ended that game with the center basically just snapping the ball, which was the center unsnapping the ball as well as the handoff fumble between Nick Marshall and Cameron Artis Payne are two plays that we had never seen in Gus's tenure. So that kind of is something that kind of continues to stand out for me. The second thing, or the second evidence for me, is how Duke Williams pretty much beginning at the bowl practice basically just decided that he was essentially going to be a diva and he was done with the team and he didn't get a chance to travel or play in that game, if I recall. But then after that, during the spring and spring football, there was some series of issues with Duke, and then we brought in Muschamp and a number of guys left the team. It's just been a lot of turnover and a lot of things that I've just kind of started noticing, and you really don't pay it no attention until you see the performance that the team put up on Saturday, the lack of effort, because that was 100% lack of effort. That was 100% lack of effort. When you see guys diving and not even running hard to make a tackle, or you see guys just not putting all out and not even trying to catch the pass or any of that thing. It was one or two kids during Saturday game that showed a little heart to me. That was Kerryon. Kerryon at number 10 were two guys that I felt like played with a lot of heart. And I'm a Jeremy Johnson fan, but from what I'm seeing with just his whole demeanor, that concerns me. His demeanor concerns me. Am I ready to give up on that kid? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think Jeremy Johnson is definitely our quarterback. I think that this team has bigger problems than just the quarterback position. And I don't think that it's solely on the quarterback as everyone wants to make it out to be. I think the play calling is still horrific. I think we need to run downhill and start with the passing the ball to the sidelines. I think we need to run downhill and establish a run, because that's obviously the bread and butter and where we're the best at. So those are kind of some additional thoughts that I had, Coach.
As far as last year, the Texas A&M game, me, myself, personally, I wouldn't use those as barometers, because I've seen those things happen to teams I've coached on. You know, like you just spoke about the center, you know, snapping the ball wrong, something like that. Or to me, those are focus issues. We had that happen to us this year. Our center ain't never snapped the ball ever when the quarterback wasn't looking. Never at practice, never in a game. And he did it this year, you know, and it cost us the touchdown, you know, in a game where, you know, we needed some momentum at that time. And I don't think our coach lost the team. Now, I know that's just one incident of a lot of things we're talking about.
But the point, though. The point
I understand what you're saying. I know it's more than just that, but I'm just saying a lot of times when things happen in a game like that, or Nick Marshall messing up a read or something like that, I personally don't point to those things as a coach's fault sometimes. Sometimes those things could be lack of focus things. Now, as far as this year's team. I think you're absolutely right. I think there were a lot of people on the field that played for us Saturday that didn't give a whole lot of effort. To me, the most demoralizing thing that you can do to a defense happened to us on Saturday. And that's line up. You know we're going to run it, and we still going to run it, and you can't stop it. And that demoralized our defense. I think that led to a lot of the effort problems that you had because they knew we didn't have anybody over there that was going to stop that kid running that ball. I also agree with you on Jeremy. It ain't all his fault. I agree. It ain't all his fault. But the quarterback is such a center of the offense. It's easy to look there and easy to pick there. I still think we got to get better play out of that position. I don't mind us running the ball, but when we play a team with superior athletes like LSU has, we only going to be able to run it so many times to where once again it's going to come back to us having to make a play downfield in the passing game. Yeah, it all works hand in hand.
Oh, it does. Let me add one thing to that too, though. The other thing I wanted to add was even with the Rudy Ford, Jonathan Ford, quote, we've never had a coach or a team allow a player to have bulletin board material. That, again, also adds to what I think, well, I believe this team is kind of slowly getting lost because, to me, even making a statement of that nature is something that's out of character. And when I talk about the snap in the Texas A&M game, that was a four-year starter who had never made that type of mistake. When we talk about focus, that's what I'm talking about, Coach. I'm talking about the focus of the team. The team is not focused. The team doesn't seem to be prepared week in and week out. And for me, it started with that Texas A&M game is when I started to notice.
Well, let me ask you a question. What do you do about that? Huh? You got a four-year starter in the game that has never, ever done that in 4 years of his career. What do you do?
No, that's what I'm saying. There's nothing you can do at that moment. But what I'm saying is that if you look at what we've done since that point.
And he never done it after that. So no, why would it be on the coach?
Because you're missing the point. It's not about the simple fact that that four-year senior. It's about the multiple things that are adding up. That's that number one to show that we're not focused. So that's one of them. The second one is the Nick Marshall pulling the ball when it was a read. That's another one. Another one is when you have the Jonathan Ford incident, and now you got the multiple Duke Williams and incidents, and then he comes in and he still starts game one versus Louisville. That concerns me. Or we got the no effort out of Jonathan Ford, or you get the no effort out of these different players. What I'm saying is that at what point does the summation of those things just say it looks like week in and week out we're not being prepared? That's the point that I'm making. It's like it started for me at that Texas A&M game when I just started noticing how some of the small things that we took care of, we're not doing that anymore. And so now I'm watching it week in and week out. I'm trying to, like I've always said since game one of this particular season, that I don't think we've been from a game planning and a play calling. I've continuously said, and you got to agree with this, that I don't think we've been prepared. That's something I've said. And it added up again on this third game where I felt like this team wasn't prepared. Do you put responsibility on the players? Absolutely, players get responsibility. But at some point when you have the summation of all those things happening on a week-in and week-out basis, then you have to question the head and not the tail.
He's always going to come back to the coach.
I mean, he can say the right thing. We're going to get better. We're going to get better. But at what point do we say, okay, this is Chizik 2.0?
Out of all those things that you mentioned, the Duke Williams thing gave me the most problem. It's something about that situation. And usually when you lose a team, it's in a situation where there's one person on the team that the other players feel like gets away with murder, then it falls apart.
Well, it may be him. And if that's the case, we need to cut ties with him. But he has not been productive at all this year. He was supposed to be a Mel Kiper top five wide receiver. I don't even see the kid getting drafted after the season that we're seeing from him this year. But again, the point, I mean, just watch the body language when they go back. You normally would see a quarterback, a wide receiver, or a quarterback and his team talking. There's no dialogue between the players on the sideline, and it's just something that's just not right.
Yeah, I mean, it's only so much you can see from TV. But we do have a defeated look a bunch of times, because right now, in my opinion, we don't have a leader. We don't have a person to lean on that's going to make a play or that's going to get everybody lifted and get something done. That's what we look like to me. When we get to the sideline, we look like we don't know. We're waiting on somebody else to do something or to say something, and ain't nobody stepping out there and doing it.
I think Peyton Barber is that guy, and I think that we haven't established him yet, because even from a play-calling perspective, we had an opportunity this week, Coach, to see two guys get more reps than we've seen all season. Now, at what point did Carry On and number 10 become the sole offense compared to not even seeing Rock or Robinson until the end of the game? To me, that just shows that, for me, it made me feel like our coaching staff or whoever's calling the plays has absolutely no idea and is essentially searching. You know, they made the comment that we need to put somebody else in for Jeremy, but I personally don't think it's time to make that move. You got to look at Jeremy's situation. I feel like he hadn't played football in 2 years, essentially, as a starter. He's finally starting after graduating high school and not essentially being a starter. And he needs to get the timing, and he needs to get the game down and the speed down. And we're going to have to ride out this season. He's probably a season behind. Next year is probably going to be a much better season and be the season that we was expecting to see this year. But I don't think you pull the plug on that guy and just basically bench him for another guy that's not prepared to play. And now you're hurting both of your top two quarterbacks' confidence. So I think we ride this season out. You know, I don't even know if we can win six games this season.
Well, I'm going to tell you like this. If it don't get no better, he going to get pulled. I just don't see how no way he won't.
Oh, definitely.
Because the longer you keep him in, and he ain't getting no better, and he ain't seeing no success, he just gonna keep going spiraling downhill, and his play gonna get worse, and his confidence gonna really be blown to where he won't be able to come back from it.
I agree with that, but I think you pull him. I think you pull Frost. I think you pull Ford. I think you pull all of them that ain't producing, and you put some of those young guys in there. I agree. I say I would give Jeremy until the middle of this season. After, I would give him Mississippi State. I would give him San Jose State. And I would give him the next SEC game that we play. If the kid is not ready to play by Kentucky or whenever that third SEC game is, I don't have the schedule in front of me, then we have to go a different direction. But to say you're going to pull a kid if he doesn't have a productive game at the Mississippi State, I think it's absolutely ridiculous. Why haven't we ran the Wildcat? When are we going to unleash the Wildcat with one of them stellar athletes we got back there?
I mean, I really don't see the use of it.
You don't see the use of it? That's what Gus's whole office has been successful.
I personally don't see the use of it.
When we essentially ran Nick Marshall and ran the zone read with it.
Yeah, but Nick Marshall had the option of throwing. I just don't see how this offense gonna work being one dimensional right now.
Jason Smith can throw it.
Yeah, will we throw it with him though? That's the answer.
You saw that kid play high school football.
Yeah, but like I said, will we throw it with him? At some point in time, we have got to figure out some kind of way to produce some form of a passing game out of Jeremy Johnson or whoever the quarterback is. We have got to figure out how to get some passing game going, or this team ain't budging.
But what I'm saying, in order to do that, Coach, in order to do that, you first have to establish the run.
Okay, but this is my question. This is my question. This is what I keep going back to. All right. If you Mississippi State, what is your philosophy right now on defense?
Load the box.
Do what?
Load the box.
Okay. So you come out and you load the box.
Why are you going to keep running it?
Until they, I mean, back 2 years ago, everybody loaded the box, but we still rushed. We were still the second.
But we ain't, this ain't the same team. It ain't the same line. It ain't the same backs. It ain't the same quarterbacks.
It's not. But we haven't even established. All I know is this right here, Love. If you go back and watch the second play of the game, we gave the ball to Barber, who went around the left side of the offensive line and ran for 7 yards. Did you not see that?
Yes.
Okay, and then we came back and threw the ball. Why the hell we come back and throwing the ball? We just had a 7-yard rush by a kid that had a lot of open field. We had a lot of plays like that we just went away from. That's my talk. That's what I'm talking about. We stacked the box against LSU, but they still ran for
us. But we ain't LSU. But I feel what you're saying. We ain't LSU. We ain't got their personnel.
This is what I'm saying. The only thing I'm saying is that when I say establish the run, what I'm saying is don't go away for something that worked for you. We didn't go back and we didn't run Barbie again off of that play until the second quarter. Now, how do you come out and be successful running that play on the left side and then you don't run it again? I don't understand that. And what I'm saying is that I understand he's trying to spread the field out of blah, blah, blah. But what I'm saying is I also think
he's trying to set Jeremy up for some easy passes.
Establish the run. After you establish the run, then you come out and you pass the ball. But again, we're gonna agree to disagree on this topic. All I'm saying,
I don't think we necessarily disagree on the topic. I just think we just got two different ways of going about it. I mean,
the problem that I have with you guys, or where I disagree with you guys, is at the point where it's almost like y'all don't look at the play calling sequence. Like, look at the play calling sequence. Don't look at each play. Look at what he did on first down, second down, third down, fourth down, or whatever. Look at the sequence of plays he's calling.
I look at the grand scheme of the whole offense of what you're going to need to do to be successful. I ain't looking at first down, second down, third. I'm going into a game saying to myself that we have not shown any ability to throw the football, so a team's going to come in, try to stack it, and we're going to need to be able to throw it.
That's a predetermined. That's predetermined philosophy.
But you just agreed with me.
No, I did not. That's a predetermined
You just agreed with me. I just asked you, if you were Mississippi State, what would be your philosophy coming into this game? You said to stack the box. So I agree with you.
No, but what I also said was I would run the football until they stopped me. I don't give a damn if they stepped the box, because I also said that Auburn stepped the box against LSU, and they still ran down our throat. The point that I'm making is that I understand I'm going into a game, I'm knowing that Mississippi State going to step the box. I know that. I know that 100%. But what I'm saying is that, okay, you're going to step the box. I'm still going to line up, and I'm going to enforce my will. I'm going to impose my will, and I'm going to run it right at you. Now, if they run it right at me for two or three series and I'm not having any success, I'm going to be forced to throw it. But I'm not going to go in there saying that I got to come out and pass the ball to open up the run. That's dumb to me. I believe in imposing your will, running the ball down their throat until they stop you.
Number one, I'm not saying you got to pass it to open up the run. And number two, I never said you got to pass it to open up the run. I never said that. And number two, you're going to go out there and you're going to risk giving up. You're going to risk possibly, not saying you will, but you're going to go out there and risk possibly giving up two or three series when your defense can't stop a cold.
Coach, until I see otherwise, I'm going to run the football. Again, we just went out there against LSU. The second play of the game against LSU, we busted for 7 yards. Is that not a fact?
That's a fact.
And we didn't go back to that play for another 3 or 4 series. So the point
I don't know if that's a fact or not.
That is absolutely a fact, because I look at the sequence of play call.
You look at the sequence of the play, but you don't know what the play call was.
No, I see the play. Coach, I know.
Are you telling me we didn't run the ball again until the second quarter?
No, I said we didn't run that play.
Okay, well, it's either we're going to run the ball or run that play.
But we didn't even run the ball north and south is the point. The point that we did was we started throwing the ball to the
end. You want to run the ball and you want to run it straight north and south.
I want to run the ball north and south, between the tackles, or no, let me say this, 18. I want to run the ball outside of that that little sweep, whatever, however, what that was. He was outside the 8 and the 8 and the 9. I want to run it on the 8 and the 9 or in between the 8 and the 9. That's what I want to run. I don't want to run no speed sweep. I ain't trying to run no reverse. I want to run down here with a running back, and I want it to be power pulling or straight ahead.
Well, if we keep playing like we played Saturday, I'm sure at some point in time you'll get that.
All is throwing the football.
Because ain't nothing there working.
That's what I want to see. And y'all want to come out there, and all I hear is throw the ball, throw the ball.
No, man, you ain't never heard me say that. I'm going to say y'all.
And I heard that same thing 2 years ago when we was going to the Tennessee game, and everybody was saying, well, we're going to have to throw the ball. And I've always said, for what? If you can run the ball for 450 yards, ain't no need to throw the damn football. And we don't know if we can run it or not, because all we want to do is come out there and throw the football and get away from the core competency of what we have. Our best position right now is running back position. To me, Peyton Barber is our best player right now.
If Peyton Barber is our best player, which you probably right.
I said right now.
We in trouble.
Well, we got to give him the ball 20, 25 times. He played with heart.
Because he ain't great.
He played with heart. He run hard.
He does. But he ain't great. He ain't that special.
We got to do our pick.
What you got?
They're on the website. Let me tell them to you. Last week, let's look at our scores for last week.
Oh, I know. I didn't go undefeated last week, man.
Coach, I should have gave myself a shout-out, Coach, because I was the only one that picked Stanford to beat USC. Did you see that, Coach?
I did not.
You did not see that, huh? But maybe you should go look and see who picked Stanford to beat USC, because I was the only one.
Congratulations, homeboy.
So we both picked last week. We both picked Clemson. We both picked LSU. Neither one of us picked Notre Dame. We both picked UGA, right?
Oh, yeah.
We both picked Arkansas, right?
Yep.
And we both picked Alabama. So that means we lost. We went last week, Coach. You went 1-2-3-3.
Yeah,
we went 3-3 last week, Coach. Let's go.
Oh, we got some good one this week, boy.
For the listeners, we do have the games that we're picking, and we got the scores on the blog. So if you ever get a chance, you can take a look. So, Coach, did you lose a game before that, Coach, or you was undefeated?
Man, I think I was undefeated. I think I am. But hey, you can keep it that way. You can keep it right now.
All right, well, we keep it where we got it at. This week we got UCLA versus Arizona. Who you got?
UCLA, Arizona. I think I'm going to ride with the freshman, man. I'm going with UCLA, man. They got a little swag right now. They're trying to do things in powder blue, so I'm rolling with them.
Rich Rodriguez is going to upset him, Coach. Take Arizona.
I got you.
You got USC or Arizona State?
Arizona State.
Take Arizona State. Now, take USC on now. I'm going to take USC, so we don't pick different games on both of those. Utah versus Oregon. Who you got?
Ducks. Big.
Give me the Ducks. Texas A&M versus Arkansas. Who you got?
Texas A&M beat the mouth.
Big. Mississippi State versus Auburn. Who you got?
Mississippi State.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Nope, there's no reason other than my fanhood and my heart that I should take over.
That Prescott gets it done. I'm gonna roll with Mississippi State. Tennessee versus Florida. Who you got?
Rocket Top.
Florida gonna win that game, Coach.
Florida got a good defense. That wouldn't shock me.
Florida gonna win that game. BYU versus Michigan. Who you got?
Hardball, baby.
BYU gonna win that game, Coach. There's something about that team at BYU. I've been perfect every time I picked them, Coach. Make it 3-0 for me. Let's get out of here.
Hey, another week down, another week coming up, my boy.
If the people only knew what we went through to get this podcast recorded.
Hey, man, burn it all, baby.
We burning that midnight oil. For those of you that will listen to this podcast, it'll be available to you in about 6 or 7 hours from now. So shout out to our producer, BG, for all the hard work that he does.
Jesus.
Should we shout out Jesse Jackson, Coach, or just continue to call him up?
No, man, let Jesse ride, man. Jesse done did enough damage already, man.
He done did enough. All right, well, then let's get up out of here. Tell the people about Avocare.
Hey, Avocare, we create champions, baby. Get on, I'm going to post something tomorrow. Y'all get on, get your products, and get yourself right.
Yeah, Coach, I actually saw the Avocare commercials on CBS.
I'm telling you, we coming, baby.
So, shout out to Avocare. Coach, I've been taking the juice. I have taken two packages of the juice, Coach. I feel like it's working, but I'm not sure, so... I need a few more. I'm going to try a few more times before I get my ultimate results. Shout out to Thomas Allen Collection. I wore that tie over the weekend and got a way review. So if you're looking to get a new tie, go to thomasallencollection.com. They have a number of ties on that end as well, so you'll enjoy that. So you can also reach us at the number one sports talk podcast, .blogspot.com. That's the one sports talk podcast. .blogspot.com. We're on Instagram at D1 Sports Talk Podcast, and our email address is D1 Sports Talk Podcast @gmail.com. So this has been another episode of You Have Your Boy Tight, and we got our boy Coach, and we are out of here. Peace.
Peace out. Because I want to be a cowboy, baby, with a top left back and the sunshine shining. Cowboy, baby. Train rolls in.